Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. I'm here with Luke and Adam, and we're excited to be with you.
We are.
Pumped. We're pumped. We're excited. We're glad to be here. I think there's just energy because Feed My Starving Children is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys grateful for looking back and excited about looking ahead?
I am excited to go to bed tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
He's saying that at 10:52 on a Thursday morning.
As we just finished up a conversation before pressing record. Hey, what's filling my feed on Instagram is plantar fasciitis shoes.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Says the man who says, I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that okay, though? I mean, is it bad that I'm already anticipating bedtime?
What time did you wake up?
Today, I woke up. It's like 6:30. I woke up late.
Late.
You're okay.
Yeah.
6:30 is not late for most people.
Well, it's late for me, but...
You're fine.
Yeah.
You'll be okay. It's, yeah.
Grateful for and excited about.
Yeah. Great. Lots of things. Grateful for getting moved and settled into the new house and just a ton of people who have been helping with that. One young dude who is a good friend of mine, great leader in the ministry, took the whole day off of work just to move some furniture with me.
Mm-hmm.
Family, grandparents and friends coming to help clean all that sort of stuff. And now we're just kind of unpacking one box at a time. So grateful to be kind of done with that. Well, on the way to being done with that, because moving is, it's not fun.
No.
It's not.
No, I remember whenever we moved from the house over here on River Falls, we'd been in there for 10 years. And I think that whenever we were packing up
boxes,
whenever we were packing up to move to the new house, we found boxes that had still not been opened. So, yeah. So, I mean, as long as you get your boxes open within the next 10 years,
we'll be okay. Yeah.
You're ahead of the game.
I think we will. Pretty sure we will. So anyways, but yeah, grateful for all that. Grateful for youth ministry coming back into play. Been exciting. A couple of first Wednesday nights with our high schoolers and Sunday nights with our middle schoolers. Just really, really some great things happening there. Excited about Feed My Starving Children. Excited about a disc golf tournament in a couple of Saturdays. Over at the Iron Hoof in Conyers.
Mm-hmm. Hoof or hoof?
Whatever you would call the foot of
hoof?
A horse. Yeah.
Hoof?
Iron. It's hoof.
Does it rhyme with roof?
No.
Or do you say roof?
Hoof. It's
horse's hoof.
Yeah, hoof.
Hoof?
Hoof?
No, it's. I know what you're trying to do because this is the English language is. It's the roof, but it's a hoof.
Is it? I'm not even like being
yeah.
Difficult.
No, I'm like I'm yeah.
I thought it was hooves.
If it's plural, do you say hooves?
Yes,
or
hooves. Not hooves. Yeah, no.
Hooves. I don't even know now.
What way?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
exciting hoof. Things today.
Right. Oh. Yeah, and it's like it's the same thing that like the word tough. The word tough, T-O-U-G-H, tough.
Sure.
But then the word
rough,
I can't think of
plow.
Yeah, rough, plow.
Yeah.
You're like, it's different.
Yeah.
It just sounds different, even though it's spelled the exact same. Because English,
I think we need. I think we need listeners to let us know. Is it hooves or is it hoofs?
Yes.
Hooves sounds more like something we break out in.
I don't know, but it behooves us. It behooves us to get to the bottom of this.
Very good. Hey, I'm grateful for a fun week. My parents are actually in town right now, so got lunch with them in, I don't know, whenever we're done with this. So it's going to be fun for that. Got
Where
surprised.
Are you going to go?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet. I truly don't.
I believe you.
It's going to be fun
it's
to pick.
Not, it's not like you have to say, I don't know. And then I'm like, oh, I think he's lying to me because he didn't say
he doesn't
he
want
truly,
you to, truly
doesn't know.
Truly, he doesn't want you to show up.
What I mean is
Mark Moore fan club.
Yeah, there you go.
Showing up. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, it was fun to pick him up Sunday from the airport. And just to have them with the kids all week. Dominic's loved playing disc golf with Papa.
Yeah.
My mom made homemade peanut butter fudge, and she's the best of all time at that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just incredible. But, yeah, excited about Feed My Starving Children as well. And
well, you want to go ahead and get some attention on yourself and tell the audience why your parents were in town?
Oh, Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I went out of town for a couple of days. Sasha, it was my birthday on Tuesday. There we go. Yeah. Yep. So we went up to a cabin and just had, I mean, it was great. Didn't set an alarm for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Salmon was wonderful. German restaurant in Helen. Highly recommend. So,
okay.
Good.
Yeah. 40.
Very, very good. 40.
Just, I want everybody to know Josh is 40.
Yeah.
And he still, he still looks that good.
Did you get any Metamucil or prune juice or hemorrhoid cream or anything like that for your birthday?
AARP?
No, but I did get a hilarious text from somebody here at the church. They said, go ahead and take Tylenol tonight, like the night before, you know, and then just talking about fiber, like all these advices mm-hmm. for being old, you know, and mm-hmm. then ended with saying, and just remember, old men are cute. So funny. So, yeah, grateful for the week. And I'm excited to see Naya play volleyball tonight.
Oh, fun.
Her first game was Tuesday, but we were out of town. And so it'd be fun. It's a new season. She's doing something she hasn't done before. And so excited.
That's awesome. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who are they playing?
Let me check the calendar.
Okay.
I don't know. Oh man, there's too many calendar events.
Providence
today.
Versus anyway, somebody.
Somebody. Yeah.
That'll be great, man.
Yeah, excited about just the season that we are in, for sure.
So love it.
The next question I wrote on here was, what is your most used emoji and why? I don't know why I wrote that one, but it's an interesting
it's a fun question.
It's an interesting question.
So I don't know which one might, is it the laughing face or is it crying face? So
it's the crying laughing crying, emoji.
Crying laughing.
Crafting right. emoji.
Yeah, so yeah. Probably crafting is mine.
All right. That sounds like a weird word.
Or is it croffing? How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, yeah. Let's just not say that one.
Proving?
No, that's the one I use the most. Like the laughy face with the with crying. The,
yeah.
In fact, I was texting with the person who we communicate with in regards to the house that we just moved into. I was texting with her. And I meant to put the crying with laughter face emoji, but I accidentally pushed like a blushy face.
Oh no.
Flirty emoji.
Oh no.
And I sent it without checking. I was like, oh my gosh, oh, no. I haven't even met this person and they think I'm weird. This is no good. So just be careful what emojis you send. Cause
so in other words, Luke may be looking for a new rental.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Within the next few weeks.
Well, so I texted you all this week. That I was like, hey, Sasha had the perfect trip. And then I didn't check my text before I sent them because I never do. Did you see this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, she took me to the Birth, Georgia Mountains.
Birth, Georgia
Mountains. And didn't check it, just sent it out there. And Adam was like, I love the Birth, Georgia Mountains.
Favorite.
Yeah. So check your texts, ladies and gents. Hey, next question.
What about you? Which one do you use the most?
Oh, probably thumbs up. All the thumbs time. Up. Just thumbs up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Career Point.
What's your most common fight you have with your – just kidding. We're not going to do that. We are talking about fighting today.
I can tell you.
We're talking about how to fight fair and fight well. And we'll get into that in the sermon discussion. But first, I did get some stories this week for In the News. All right. Two stories. Apparently, only one of them has a picture that you can kind of see before you click into it.
That picture is nice. Associated Press.
It's worth 1,000 words.
Which one or two do you choose?
I'll let you pick, Luke. Yeah.
It's got to be number two.
All right.
Number one was like, yeah, that's kind of fun. And then I read number two.
It has a picture on it, but number two.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, number two. Denmark Zoo asks people to donate their small pets as food for captive predators. Okay, Copenhagen, Denmark. A zoo in Denmark is asking for their small pets to be donated. It's trying to mimic the, quote, natural food chain of the animals housed there for the sake of both animal welfare and professional integrity. And offers assurances that pets will be, quote, gently euthanized by trained staff. So,
That's hilarious.
Would you do it or would you not?
What kind of small pets are being donated? I mean, we're talking like hamsters and gerbils. I mean,
okay, the zoo, here we go. The zoo points to guinea pigs, rabbits, and chickens as possible donations. As after being euthanized, the animals will be used as fodder, the zoo says.
So
that way nothing goes to waste and we ensure natural behavior, nutrition, and well-being of our predators.
What? No, hold on. Hold on.
The online call for pet donations is accompanied by a picture of a wildcat baring its teeth with its mouth wide open and a link on the zoo's website.
But no, this is silliness. It is not restoring the natural behavior if you're feeding it a euthanized chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let that thing in their life.
Yes.
That makes the zoo more fun. You see an actual animal chasing around a chicken or a guinea pig?
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's go. What are we doing?
Here's the only sentence I haven't read yet. The mouth was wide open and a link to the zoo's website, comma, noting the facility also is interested in receiving horses.
Yeah. This is just ridiculous. I mean, it's like
all right.
In search of a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. I mean, come on now. Give me a break.
I think it's hilarious.
Denmark, get your act together.
Well, we all know of the three of us, Luke likes pets the least. So it's not surprising.
Understatement of the year.
Well, it's not even just the pet thing. It's just this is silliness.
Yeah.
If you're going,
it really is.
It is not restoring the natural order of things to give them euthanized animals.
Right.
That's not how the wild works. And they're already in cages. I mean, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
Come on, Denmark. You're better than that.
You know.
Be better, Denmark.
Save on your vet bill, though. But
it's true.
So it is a controversial topic.
Do they pay you?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Are we talking $100 a chicken?
You ain't getting $100 for a chicken.
I mean, come on. Tigers got to eat.
How big's the chicken? So, obviously.
And seriously, if you're going to get rid of your chicken, are you going to feed it to a zoo animal? Or it's like, we could fry this bad boy up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let that bless us. Yeah.
Have either of you wrung the neck of a chicken?
No.
No, my mom did. She grew up on a farm.
My wife has.
No.
I have not.
Did the head ever pop off in her hand?
I don't know. Don't know that.
Conflict
is what we're talking about today. And obviously the zoo maybe has some controversial opinions, but it's unavoidable conflict. And when it's done right, it actually makes the relationship stronger. But the problem is it's not often done right. It's often done wrong. Adam gave us some great rules of how to do conflict well. And we'll get to those. But first, we're going to jump into the text and the sermon that we kind of were in yesterday. Big main verses start in Ephesians 4:26-27. So, Luke, if you'd read those two verses to get us kind of in our brains in the conflict train of thought here.
Yeah. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26-27, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil.
All right, anger. Anger is not always sin.
Right.
Because, what does the scripture say? Like, in your anger, do not sin.
Correct.
Right? But I think we've talked about it before a little bit on this podcast, just righteous anger and how we think often we have righteous anger. So let's talk about that just a little bit. What do we mean by that? And then I'm interested to hear from you guys what's the percentage, do you think, of our anger that is righteous and what percentage is unrighteous?
I don't know how where that would delineate into, you know, I think that kind of where my brain goes is, you know, just the emotion side of it is it is something that we just experience. And whether or not it's righteous or unrighteous, I don't mean to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter in the sense
I hear what you're saying.
You know, it's just, here's how I'm feeling in that moment. And so, you know, Josh, I've used your line or a line I've heard you use, whether it's your line or not, you know, that feelings can ride, but they don't get to drive.
Yeah, I stole that one, but
yeah,
it's mine now.
It is yours now. Josh Moore once said, and so, but I think it's the same thing with anger. It's just like, hey, you do have those moments to where something just gets you, mm-hmm. and that is just it is a response. The question is, what are you going to do with the response? And right. I think that's where Paul is. But, you know, on the righteous side of things, like, I think that, you know, I've used this illustration before. I think about the mom who started Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I believe it was her son was killed by a drunk driver, and she was mad, and rightfully so, righteously so. But she allowed the anger to not lead her to sin, to where mm-hmm. she was doing unhelpful things or harmful behavior. She led it towards a righteous outcome of, hey, let's start an awareness campaign, you know, because mm-hmm. Like it, as crazy as it is to say, in the year 2025, people didn't used to think that driving after having multiple drinks was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And driving while a buzz, you know, was just like
yep.
what you did. And so, mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of where it ends up, where your anger leads you, probably can help us identify whether it's righteous or unrighteous. How's that?
Yeah. Any thoughts, Luke? Dad?
I thought you said to add. I thought you said dad.
Oh.
Any thoughts, Luke? Dad? Like, what?
Any thoughts, dad?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I think whenever the conversation about righteous anger versus unrighteous anger and all that sort of stuff, the story that pops into my mind right away all the time is Jesus at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing around a whip and tossing around the tables and driving out people. And you look at that and it's like, okay, well, there's an emotion that Jesus certainly felt, anger. Mm-hmm. And yet, because he's Jesus, it absolutely was righteous. And it was because he reacted this way because the people had turned the place of God into a system that was not blessing mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
So, boom, it's like, okay, the source of this anger is righteous because it was not honoring to God, right? And so that's just something that that always helps me. It's like, okay, I feel angry about this thing. Would God feel angry about this thing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, cool. Based on what I see in scripture, based on how I see things playing out, I think God probably feels angry about this thing too. So I feel mm-hmm. okay with this. However, sometimes ask yourself the question, would God feel angry about this? Sometimes the answer is, well, no. Okay, well, then I probably need to let that go.
Right.
So,
Adam, I love this line. You said, surrender your angry feelings to God before responding.
Right.
And I think that, you know, Luke, even when you said the temple, that was not just a spur of the moment reaction that Jesus had.
Right.
It was planned out.
Yeah.
You know, it was something he had seen and witnessed for a long time. So we need to deal quickly with conflict to prevent the bitterness and the spiritual vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And the text says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry.
Right.
We read that as Americans in our idea of days, and like the sun going down is the end of the day. Adam, explain again. You said it in the sermon, but just it's a really important reminder. Help us understand what that is really saying. Is it literally before right. the sun goes down, or why is it written that way?
Yeah, so it is not just like this legalistic like rule that we're supposed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that what's funny is that whenever people try to use this legalistically, it ends up harming their relationship more than
yeah,
it does.
Often, yeah.
Helping
yeah.
it.
I mean, I've told that story about my sister throwing the paper at me and saying, the sun's already down, buddy.
Right, yeah.
Because I was trying to write her a sorry note, and she threw it in my face.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because the sun's already down.
Yeah, you know, and so you've got that. But then, two, you know, I've heard a counselor say, he's like, so are you actually, is 3 a.m. version of you the right one to be having that conversation?
Right. Yep.
And I think there's some wisdom that we've just got to be able to apply to that and just go, the big idea is just make sure the account is settled quickly. That's what it mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. It is settling of a relational account quickly because, and we all know it, that whenever we let anger just kind of just simmer and fester and we stew and it turns into resentment and bitterness. And that's really what the, that's what the instruction is, because I mean, that's where he goes. That's where Paul goes into. And that's how you give Satan
a foothold,
Yep. You know, you leave a door wide open for him to be able to come in and grab you. And so, it's just, man, there needs to be urgency, but there also needs to be a wise urgency, you know, in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do we put a time on it? Like within the 24-hour period, like start the process of addressing it if possible? I mean, obviously if there's a trip involved or something, but
sure.
I just think, you know, as the sun, as the earth travels around, like whatever we do. Do we travel around the sun? Sun travels? Yeah, we travel
around. We travel around the sun.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
As we revolve on our axis,
yeah,
you know, and the sun passes and rises and sets, mm-hmm. it's probably a good idea sometime in that 24-hour period when you're the best version of you.
Sure.
Deal with it.
Deal with it. Yeah. Because I think there's a danger too if we overdo it and we're like, I'm not ready yet.
Right.
It's like 3 weeks later.
Sure. Well,
get ready. Get yourself ready.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's a good word as well. It's not an excuse. And I think that's where, you know, we can veer off into, because we know it's not a legalistic verse.
Right.
Of just going, well, then that means I can, mm-hmm. you know, just put it off and put it off. But, I think that there is some, you know, there is some wisdom in it. You know, we'll get into it as we get into the rules for the fight, but, I think so, there is wisdom sometimes too of just going, does this really even need to be, you know, addressed?
You're right. Yeah.
because not every little thing that just, you know, ticks you off actually needs to be,
blown up.
Yeah. Well, here is a real life illustration from the past 48 hours. Excuse me.
God, he's choked 48 up
hours.
This. Yeah.
You know, Sasha and I were gone and my parents are in town. And they said, one of the children will be, remain nameless, but they had to have like a disciplinary conversation, rightly so. We trust them, obviously. So they do that. And it was like a strong, like you can't do this, or I don't even know what it's about. But anyway, mm-hmm. They said whenever they woke up the next morning, it was like, it never happened. Mm-hmm. Like, hi, good morning.
Right.
And it reminded me that we have this forgetter. Whenever we sleep, the right amount of sleep, mm-hmm. we really do forget a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So sometimes mm-hmm. sleep before solving the fight that seems like a big deal, like you're saying,
correct.
You sleep it off, and literally what God does is heal your brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Your body, you know, as that happens. Right. So
that's cool.
Well, yeah, like it's funny, you know, and so Luke, you know, your wedding was the most recent of the three of us.
Yep.
And odds are you probably did have someone, whenever they were giving advice, do the same thing that my grandma Turner did. It's like, yeah, never go to bed angry, mm-hmm. right? And what's funny about that is if you were to ask my grandma Turner, and if you were to ask anybody who gives you that advice,
right.
say, okay, but have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to bed angry? And they'd be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And then we woke up the next day, and it was like, why were we fighting about mm-hmm. you know, pumpernickel versus sourdough or whatever it is?
sourdough.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But
unless you're in fondue, and then a dipped pumpernickel in that cheese is so
there we
good.
Go. See?
Anyway.
But I think there is just something that – but so big picture that what Paul is saying is – don't just let it linger around. If yep. you wake yep. up the next morning and it's still like your blood pressure is high and you're still worked up and you're like the first word out of your mouth wants to be, and furthermore.
Yeah.
uh-huh. Yeah. It probably needs to be dealt with.
For sure. For sure. Yep. what we've realized in our 14 years, of the two of us, I'm the more verbal processor, and Sasha she takes some time to internalize things and then verbalize it later. So we've just said to each other, like, we need to meet in the middle. So I would like to address things quicker is what usually happens. And she wants to sit and think and ruminate longer.
Yep.
And both of us have given ground
yep.
and saying, I'm going to wait and yep. you're going to speed up and we're going to both meet in the middle.
Yep.
So that's worked. That's yeah. worked for us really well.
Absolutely.
Before the application, just one more big textual note was a couple more verses. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, get rid of all the stuff, bitterness, right. rage, anger, harsh words, slander. mm-hmm. as well as malicious behavior, and then replace it with what? Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
that phrase, just as God, through Christ, is the big thing there. And I love that Paul, he uses this replacement talk yeah. again. And it's not the only place he does it. He uses it a lot mm-hmm. in Ephesians and other places. And I'm just going to ask, why is it so important? Why do you think he uses replacement talk?
Well, I mean, if you think about Ephesians as a whole, I mean, we're talking—
That's what he does.
It's a new identity, you know? I mean, it's the same thing in Colossians. Is it Colossians 3?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it's put off the old self. I mean, it's Romans 12. I mean, it's being renewed mm-hmm. by the transforming of your mind. So it is. It's just kind of one of his go-tos. And I think it really comes down to that idea of whenever we come to Christ, you know, we are recreated. We become a new, we are not, it's not even just a better version of ourselves. It's mm-hmm. like a new version of ourselves. And so that's the replacement talk that is going on here. Yeah. It's like all these old things that you used to live to, they don't fit anymore. And so it's, here's where we start moving.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the ways that marriage has blessed me in regards to spiritual formation is that it has taught me that naturally I'm on the front end of that set of verses. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. marriage has helped me become more Christ-like by helping me realize that I'm far from Christ-likeness. If that makes sense. Like,
sure. Yeah.
That the intimacy of that relationship with my wife exposes my own tendency to selfishness, to mm-hmm. anger, to the desire to hold onto a grudge, and all these sorts of things. And so this is a powerful, powerful reminder that in order to honor God and to honor my wife and to serve her as Christ served the church, which is the language he uses in the next chapter. Mm-hmm. That means that I have to be really, really intentional about embracing verse 32, all of the things that are mm-hmm. Replacing what is there in verse 31. So that's what comes to mind.
Yeah. Even if the imagery, my goodness, my throat today, I'm choking on my water, I guess.
It happens at 40, man. To start.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
It's going to keep going.
No, the imagery of taking off the old clothes, so to speak, mm-hmm. and then putting on Christ is just, it's interesting to think if you think in those terms. If you don't put on the new the new way, you're just walking around naked. And, you know, that's not.
Yeah, or even, so I remember, this is years ago, they don't do it anymore because it's probably body shaming now, but you remember Biggest Loser, the TV
yeah,
show?
Yeah.
To where they would take people who were just
significantly overweight,
unhealthy, and they would put them through like this big boot camp. But mm-hmm. One of the big episodes in the season come later on, and yeah, after they're, sure. they've lost, I mean, these mm-hmm. people have lost so much weight, mm-hmm. is that they would take them in for a makeover. They would buy them a new wardrobe mm-hmm. because the idea was, is like, you're not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. This stuff is all gone. So those old clothes right. don't work, you know? And so, I mean, you can imagine, I mean, once again, this is just, the show was the show, guys. So, I mean, you're taking people that weighed 400, 500, 600 pounds, and now they're down to 200. Mm-hmm. And if you think about how ridiculous would it have been mm-hmm. for 200 pound version of themselves to wear the 600 pound version clothes, right. mm-hmm. that's really the picture that Paul gives in Colossians yeah. 3 of like, you take off the old and put on the new.
Yeah.
And so whenever we continue to live in things like rage and bitterness and lack of self-control and all those other things, it's wearing the old clothes that don't fit us anymore because we're a new creation. Mm-hmm. We've undergone a massive transformation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why the word picture, and I don't think Paul was thinking about the Biggest Loser whenever he wrote it, but I think that's why that word picture is so helpful.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Jesus tells that parable as well about if the demons leave, mm-hmm. but then the house is swept clean and seven more
yeah.
replace the one that was in there. So I think replacement is so important because if we don't start forgiving and being kind and tenderhearted, the old habits are just going to sneak right back in. We're going to be angry and rageful and slanderous again if we don't replace them. So
absolutely. And the good news in all of it is that this is, whenever Paul's using replacement talk, it's not just a buck up, man, and do it.
Exactly.
This is, you have the Spirit of the living God inside of you leading you to this place. So it's never a man up kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lean in to your new identity.
Yep. All right. So we are going to have conflict. It's inevitable. But to fight well, to come out stronger and better on the other side, Adam, you gave us 6 rules.
Yep.
There's probably more.
Oh, sure.
But sermons have to be somewhere in the 30-minute.
They have to be. They're supposed to be.
Supposed to be here at Corinth in our rhythm.
They're
so,
supposed to be.
So 6 rules.
The next time I hit 30 minutes will be the first time.
6 rules. Rule number 1, you said, choose your fights carefully. So, Luke, read us Proverbs 19:11 to get us started on this rule.
A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense.
Glory is a pretty powerful word.
Yeah.
It's your glory.
Yeah.
To, as you know, you were saying earlier, Adam, sometimes you just need to go to sleep. And I wrote here, it's hard work. So how have you all learned to choose fights carefully? What would we say? Pro tips, practical
advice. Pro tips, man. How do you guys do this?
I think you have to just be able to overlook a lot of the things that bug you. It is like you were talking about earlier, being able to identify the things that don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So for Tristan, she does not like, what's an example? She does not like that I just out of sight, out of mind when it comes to housekeeping, right? Like I want a clean space, but I'll take all the stuff and I'll shove it into a drawer so that it appears to be clean, even though it's not clean. And that bugs her, but it doesn't need to be a fight.
Correct.
It just doesn't matter. You know, she often, and I think that this is a thing that her whole family gets, because her brother's wife was telling me about this too. But they leave paper towels, used paper towels on the counter. It's like, oh man, come on, what are you doing?
Right.
I could just pick it up and throw it away. Like right. it doesn't matter.
No.
And so just being able to overlook the things that don't matter. I don't need to fight about a paper towel.
My wife is amazing because she never tells me when she cleans up my sock that's on the floor that didn't make it to the hamper.
Right.
And I do that. I leave paper towels on the counter. Usually after I've tried to clean the counter or
I'll fight with you.
To my
Stop doing that.
But she'll just throw them away. And no, to her credit, she does this well. She doesn't pick little things and turn them into fights. So I'm grateful for her there.
Yeah. So I know early on in our marriage, so Josh, you may remember Patsy Sigler.
Mm-hmm.
So Patsy was a...
I know the story.
Yeah, she was an old preacher's wife. Her husband had already passed away at this point. She was secretary at Villa Heights Christian Church, and she really kind of took Jennifer underneath her wing there at the beginning. And like one of the first bits of advice she gave Jennifer was just like, just pick up the dirty underwear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no need to say anything. There's no need to just do it. Yeah. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, you know. And I think that the issue is that whenever we make every minor little thing a big thing,
that's where I was going next.
Right?
It makes even addressing the real things that matter so difficult. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because if everything's a thing, then nothing's a thing.
Well,
it's really
the proverbial boy who cried wolf, right?
Yeah.
If everything's a big deal, and this is like a parenting line that was given to us, but I think it works in marriage too.
Sure.
Where you just kind of define what is going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before it ever comes. So that way you know, what you are going to fight about. And whoever it was, they're like, here's what a definition of a big deal is. If your eyes are bleeding or a bone is poking out,
right?
That's a big deal. Anything else, you don't have to yell. Just
right.
talk through it. Like, figure it out. And when you start to define what is actually a big deal, I think it defines your fights.
It's the philosophy of syndrome from The Incredibles.
There we go.
There you go.
Everyone is super.
There you go.
Then no one will be.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
So and I think another thing as well is whenever it says it is to someone's glory to overlook an offense, that literally means that you are overlooking the offense. You're not keeping a record of the offense.
Correct. Love keeps no record of wrongs.
Because love
next week.
keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah. And so if we're going to overlook it, we're really overlooking it. We're not like stockpiling it.
Right.
So that whenever
you can use it as ammo later,
something bigger comes along. It's like, well, you know what? Yeah. You also leave paper towels on the counter. I pick them up and I don't say anything about it. It's like, okay, well, actually you.
Wait, how'd you know?
You are.
Well, that's applies.
A good word.
That applies to forgiveness as well, right? Like you overlook an offense, that means you're just not going to. You're not going to give it any merit at all because it doesn't matter.
You give up the right to hold it against
up
them.
A right, but that's also true whenever you forgive something. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's even blow this up. Let's say that we do choose a fight,
sure,
and it's the right fight to choose, and because it was a significant thing. And you get through it, you resolve the conflict, and you forgive.
Yeah. Rule four.
That means if I have actually truly forgiven, I cannot then use that later.
Correct.
Yeah. That's an area to grow in for, I'm sure, many of us. So
yeah, for all of us. I mean, for sure. So rule two, Adam, you said, remember the goal is not victory.
Sure.
Okay. So the goal is actually getting stronger together. Right?
Sure. Yeah. It is to get the issue out on the table. Mm-hmm. It is to deal with the issue at hand. Mm-hmm. But the goal is not that I'm going to defeat my spouse in this and win an argument. Because
right. If you win an argument, you probably lose a friend.
Yeah, you can. You can definitely lose a friend, or at the very least, you've damaged the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it is...
Or you can say the right thing in the wrong way, and
all those
you're
things.
Wrong. Like if you say the right thing in the wrong way, you're still wrong.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So
and so it's just kind of remembering that the goal is not victory. It's that hey, there is an issue at hand, and there is a problem at hand, and we need to attack the problem, which is.
Well, recently we were in some training, and the Latin or whatever of conflict literally means to strike together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just super helpful for me to think through. And even I've used that line several times in premarital counseling now. Like, guys, you realize that in your communication and when you fight, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Conflict means to strike something together, which leads you to rule number three, attack the problem and not the person.
Correct.
So speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, growing, I love this, in every way more and more like Christ.
Right.
Okay. Speak. Don't yell, you said. Okay. Like I said earlier, you can say the right thing in the wrong way and you're still in the wrong. So what else comes to your mind whenever we talk about attacking the problem and not the person? I mean, you said some practical things there, Adam. We can repeat some of them and add others.
Yeah, I think, I think our friend Tim has actually said that you know, he encourages couples to like take a water bottle and put it on the table and say, okay, this represents the issue. Mm-hmm. This is what we are dealing with.
Yep.
So
yep.
We've got to work together to deal with this issue.
To strike together. Yep. You know,
we are striking this together.
Yeah. Take that water bottle.
Yeah. Take that. And so I think that there are always just some good rules to kind of just follow whenever it comes to those kind of things. You know, the when you, I feel, you know, kind of language is always good. Mm-hmm. You know, I've given ground rules before. It's like, man, if we're going to do this, that means we're never going to call names. Mm-hmm. We're never going to raise our voices. We're never going to get historical because love keeps no record of wrongs. Mm-hmm. We'll never say never. Never say always.
Never always, yeah. Yep.
Never threaten divorce, you know. Mm-hmm. And then here's another one. Never quote your pastor. Because you got yourself into it, you can get yourself out of it. You keep keep my name out of your mouth.
Sure.
I don't need to be in there. Josh doesn't need to be in there. Luke doesn't need to be in there. You're in it. You get out of it. But I think that those are just some good rules just to kind of keep in there. because it's about the issue. It's not about the person. It's about an issue that's hurting the relationship right now. And so we want to deal with that issue.
Some of the language that I started using earlier on, interest in a nice marriage, that has really helped us a lot when it comes to the conflict that we experience and the discussions that we have and all that sort of stuff. And this is kind of a dual hit towards Rule 3 and I think Rule 5. But the language is this. I just one night we were discussing, and I just stopped, slowed down, and said, "Okay, we just have to remember. I know that you love me, mm-hmm. which means I know that you will never intentionally do something to harm me or hurt me, and you know that I love you, and so you know that I will never intentionally do something to harm or to hurt you.
Yes,
mm-hmm. That does not mean that we will not do something to harm or to hurt the other." Mm-hmm. accidentally, but it will never be blatant because we love each other.
Right.
And so whenever we kind of frame up our issues, our conversations, our fights with that language, that helps us. It helps me a lot to remember, okay, mm-hmm. we're fine. We're okay. Yeah. We just have to solve this. Yeah.
So that's what, we get invited to weddings and things like that. So that's what essentially Sasha writes on every single card or marriage advice, whatever. She just says, or, people have like the Bibles nowadays, right, and you write the marriage advice for the new couple or whatever. It's just, it's always the same. It's give each other the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in each other's corner. That's what you're doing. You're covenanting with each other. So that needs to be where it all starts.
No, it's the, I phrased it as it's the greatest gift that you will give your spouse in many ways is the gift of the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, just that assumption of, man, he loves me, she loves me. They would never intentionally do anything to harm me, goes a long way in a lot of those things.
Now, sometimes we will wrong the other person.
Sure.
So that leads us to Rule 4, that we forgive when we're wronged.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge one, we also apologize when we realize that we are wrong. So I thought this would be fun. Luke, give me an example of a fake apology or one that's not good.
Oh,
like you did, you're apologizing to me and just make it a bad apology.
Do a really bad job at apologizing.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry.
All right, Adam, give me a bad apology.
You want a bad apology?
Yeah.
Josh, I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt whenever I said that.
I'm sorry it's your fault that you're upset.
Sorry that your skin isn't thick enough to take it.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. Yeah. So what's a better example of like... a real apology.
I am sorry that I am the worst.
I think it's things like, I'm sorry I spoke to you in that way. Jennifer, I'm sorry I raised my voice. I'm sorry I forgot to call or text and let you know that my meeting was running late, or I had to stop by the hospital to go see somebody. And so I'm sorry, about that. But I think... those are just kind of the ways you just get a little bit more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing, and I don't remember if I say it in this message or not. I've said it before. I don't say it in this one. But I think there is a differentiation between a mistake and a sin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And so I'm sorry is for mistakes. I'm sorry, will you forgive me, mm-hmm. is for sin.
Yeah. I think this works. We tell our kids this, but it works for adults, obviously, too. What we try to get them to realize is not just to say, I'm sorry for hurting you. Will you forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
It's the next step is really key for us. It's put yourself in their shoes and imagine how they were feeling. So when you yelled at them, apologize for how you made them feel because you yelled. I realized that made you feel scared.
Mm-hmm.
That made you feel like I didn't respect you when I said that or when I did that. So I think that's a good next step as well. So
I love the quote from Ruth Bell.
Uh-huh.
Graham,
exactly.
Here. Happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers.
Yep.
I think that's so good.
Yep.
All right. So as we forgive, we're running Rule 5, running towards reconnection.
Yep.
We reaffirm the relationship, even if the issue is unresolved, you said. Yep. And so, Adam, talk a little bit about this. How long could this reconnection take? What words of encouragement? What do you want to say about rule number five?
I mean, how long it takes is probably going to be dependent on the level of hurt. But I would circle back to the whole idea of not letting the sun go down and making sure we're settling accounts quickly.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, if somebody has been unconnected for a week, that's going to be a different timeline for reconnection than someone who hasn't felt connection for a year.
Sure, sure, sure.
Or a
sure,
day
sure.
and a month, you know, yeah. like, so.
Well, and if we're in the,
patient.
Yeah, if we're in the year timeline.
That's rule six.
That's rule six.
For sure.
You know?
It's been rule six.
It's been rule six for probably 11 months. Yeah, I think that it's going to, the goal is reconnection as soon as we can, because if we're going to follow what Scripture is teaching us, we're not going to allow things to sit and to fester, to turn into bitterness. And so we're going to reconnect as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And every relationship, it's going to look a little bit different. But, you know, there's just got to be something there, and to where it's a, hey, we've worked through this. Even if we got to the place to where we didn't feel like we were 100% understood on both sides, to where there's at least an acknowledgement of, you know, Luke, I don't understand why that did upset you as much as it did, but I know it did.
Right.
Right. That sometimes that's as far as we can go, because yeah. it's just like, I'm not you.
Right.
I'm not Jennifer. And so my brain doesn't think like hers. I don't, you know, and all those other right. things, but that doesn't mean that her feelings aren't
yeah.
real or right. any of those other kind
I don't
of
know
things.
Why it hurt you, but I know that it hurt you.
Yes.
So
yeah.
And I want to be careful with your feelings.
And I'm going to do
to knock it off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. And so, but then there does need to be something that signals, and I think there should be something like super practical.
Mm-hmm.
That is just we have resolved this issue the best that we're going to, and we are okay.
Yep.
And so I thought that some of the things Shanti said.
These are funny.
Yeah, it's like, first the fat boys break up, now this, man. It's just like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I love that one.
It's a funny joke. Or, my goodness, he meows at me and yeah. I have to meow back.
Yes.
How can you not laugh when you do something that ridiculous?
Yeah, exactly.
Just clear the air. Yeah.
You know, even the, and this one is a little bit of kind of where Jen and I are. While we may not just like verbally say, hug me.
Uh-huh.
There is a physical affection. There is a hug, just a reconnection just right there.
Yep.
And just be like, okay, we're good now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I mean, that's what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to reaffirm that, hey, we're still, we just went through a conflict.
Yeah.
But hey, we're still on the same team.
Yeah. And maybe some of the reconnection is just a time to revisit the love languages. And if your mm-hmm. spouse is a physical touch, then that probably needs to be part of it. If there are words of affirmation, that might be part of it.
Right.
You know, if it's
yeah.
a gift, that could be part of it. And so just loving them in the way they hear it best. So,
yeah.
All right. Rule six, ask for help if you're stuck. And as we said, I mean, this really could be a week in, a month in, but especially longer, you know,
sure.
if you're stuck for longer than that, get help. And I think there's a couple different levels here of just preventative maintenance, so to speak,
sure.
and then rescue whenever it's time. We do the same thing for our cars. So why wouldn't we for our relationships?
Yeah.
So,
no, I think that's great.
Why don't you reaffirm some of the things you were saying here?
Sure.
Some of the levels of help that we should have in a Christian marriage.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I like the way you just framed that, Josh. I mean, so if we are doing regular maintenance stuff, it's, hey, the church has a marriage seminar going on. We should go to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, or we had a friend recommend a great Right Now Media series. And
yeah.
so we should just,
yeah.
you know, do that. You know, those are all great preventative maintenance.
Or we're just already surrounded by
correct.
Other couples
other
in a
couples,
small group, a class, a service group. Role.
Yeah.
Or so, just a mentor.
You
said in your message, just a mentor. You know, a mentor.
Yeah, just marriage. Yeah, just somebody.
Just going to dinner.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, whenever we're going into, hey, we may need to pay somebody for help. I think something that would be on my radar is, and it seems like we're having the same fight all the time.
Okay. That's a good word.
You know, we're continually fighting about this one thing, mm-hmm. and it feels like we're always going back to it. And so it's never feeling
not really resolved.
It's not really resolving. And so, it could be financial. And so maybe it's not even a marriage counselor. Maybe it's a financial counselor that's going to help you get your finances in order. Mm-hmm. It is a relational thing, could be an intimacy issue thing, could be a parenting thing, you know? And so it's like, man, this thing just keeps popping up. It probably means we need to sit down with somebody, you know, mm-hmm. that can throw on the, and not in a sense, a referee shirt, but if you want to use that,
yeah.
if you want to use that vocabulary, it's fine. Who can just mm-hmm. kind of sit there and just help you from an outside perspective, mm-hmm. be able to. Kind of process through it. I think that the big thing that just, I don't know if this is what you're looking for, Josh, or not, but like one of the major laments or griefs that I think that we carry as, you know, pastors, our entire staff, is generally by the time somebody comes to us, we are in triage mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's like full blown, like arms have already been lost and legs, and it's just, it's blown up to the point now it's just like
somebody's already contacted a lawyer.
Yeah. And so I think that the admonition, encouragement that I would give is, it's like, swallow your pride. And if you're noticing, man, we're not connecting the way we should. It's time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is time now. If you've done the, you know, we go back to week one. Hey, we're dating weekly, escaping yearly. Maybe you're even following the 7-7-7 that we talked about of a date every 7 days, overnight every 7 weeks, a few days every 7 months. And it's just like we're getting time together, but we're still two ships passing in the night. We're not communicating. We're not on the same page. Swallow your darn pride and just say, we need help. And because too many people wait until it's, like you said, papers are already drawn up and we get stuck on the side. And I use that phrase. I'm fine using that word. We get stuck on the side of like, how do we help manage through essentially the death of the marriage? Instead of, hey, there's still a heartbeat here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So
yeah, and some of it's just time management, because if we have scheduled our lives so full, whether it's kids' calendars or work or anything else, and you said that phrase, ships passing in the night,
mm-hmm.
there's not time for any of the preventative maintenance of time together.
Yeah.
Shoot, we're not going on a trip. We're not even sitting down on the couch and asking what made you smile today. Like, if you're not even doing that, like, it's
shoot, if you're not even just sitting on the couch and cuddling for just a few minutes,
yeah,
let alone even speaking, you know, it's just,
yeah. So I think that's a good word too. Luke, anything to add on ask for help if you're stuck?
Just do it.
Just do it. All right. Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success. Yeah. So surround your life with wise people. A companion of fools suffers harm. So surround yourself with wise people,
yep.
and you'll be wise. Bottom line, healthy couples don't fight to win. They fight to heal.
Yep.
There is a good fight, and you can do it well. Challenge is ask the blessing question, which tell us what that is again.
So that is, let me see, did I throw a number on this one? I think I did.
Three and three.
So it is the three.
It can be any number you choose.
But it can be any number you choose. But so it's looking back over the past week and just say, what are three ways that I've blessed you?
Mm-hmm.
And then it is the follow-up questions is, what are three ways I can bless you better mm-hmm. this week?
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. gives your spouse the chance to be able to say,
yeah.
Here's what you did.
A little bit
do.
More in a, of a critique, right. but in a positive way.
In a yes. positive way. I love it. Yeah.
It's a positive way to do it. Yeah.
We do. I do this in premarriage counseling as well. And we just do it right there in the room. Like, they write it out on the paper. They speak to each other. I say, don't you dare look at me, look at each other. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun because you'd think people would be used to communicating in the dating
right.
stage. Like we're just talking all the time, but yep. often it's a game changer for them going in. So
it is.
Anyway, blessing question. All right. Let's end with a game. And the game is this. What were they fighting about? Mm. We're going to go through history. Luke, we'll start with you. In the 5th century BC, the Peloponnesian War.
I'm not going to get a single one of these right.
Maybe.
Is it we'll multiple see. Choice?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be fine.
Athens and Sparta fought for decades.
Sparta!
What was the main reason? A, control of trade and resources in the Greek world. B, revenge on an assassination attempt. Or C, a dispute over religious festivals.
We're going to go with A.
Correct. You'd be correct.
Yeah.
All right, Adam.
So it was trade?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Control of trade.
I thought it was an assassination
attempt. 1st century AD, the Jewish-Roman War.
Okay.
Luke would have loved this one, I'm sure. Roman Empire. The conflict
what do you think about it?
Erupted between the Jewish people and the Roman Empire. What sparked it? So taxation and religious oppression, disputed Roman Senate election, or a severe drought and famine?
Oh, gosh. I didn't think it was any of those. So I guess we'll go with A.
Yeah, religious oppression.
Yeah, it would
yep.
be A.
All right. Yeah. Ooh, let's talk
so
about
would that have been the Maccabee?
What date did you say?
That was 1st century AD.
1st century AD.
Okay.
So this is Jesus' time.
Yeah. I was thinking Maccabean.
Yeah.
8th century. So we're talking about Vikings, Luke, now. Why did the Norse Vikings repeatedly raid monasteries and towns in England? Did they want to punish Christian kings for rejecting paganism? Did they want wealth, especially silver, or to claim religious relics for their own temples?
I'm going to go B.
You're correct.
Yeah.
B.
Vikings B. just want this stuff.
Yeah. See, you said you wouldn't do well, but you're
well, because I got multiple choice. I'm okay.
Yeah. All right. 11th century. We're in the Crusades now, Adam. What was the primary goal of the Crusades? A, capture Holy Land from Muslim control. B, unite European kingdoms under one king. Or stop. Or C, stop Viking invasions.
Should be A.
It is.
Yeah.
2 for 2. Okay. These are a little, I made them a little bit funner now as we go along. We'll do more fun?
More fun.
More funner.
Funner.
All right. Luke, 15th century, the War of the Roses. Two rival English houses fought for A, control of the English throne. B, who had the fanciest rose garden. Or C, which family could host the better jousting tournament?
Okay, well, it's definitely A.
See, I told you they were a little more fun.
Yeah.
All right, 18th century, Adam, the American Revolutionary War. What were the American colonies fighting for? A, independence from British rule and self-government. B, because someone kept stealing their tea. Or C, a dispute over who made the best apple pie.
Wow.
See, the questions
I want
it
to be C.
The questions get easier as we go along.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's A.
All right. We'll do one more, and you guys decide together. Just say it.
Just say it.
On the count of three. All right. 19th century, the Opium Wars. There you go. Britain and China clashed mainly over A, arguments about who invented tea kettles. B, the British opium trade in China. Or C, navigation rights to the South China Sea.
I'm going
to
just go out on a limb. And say that the Opium Wars
probably
B. about B.
See, I'm here for you opium guys. China.
Yeah,
7 out of 7. Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were fighting over ridiculous things. Make sure when you fight well and fight fairly.
Hey, you want to know? This is worth
What's
it.
Up? It's worth it.
You know, I had this will give everybody a lot of hope in our school system. I one time recently had a student ask. And this is exactly the ask. Luke, do you know when the War of 1812 was?
When was
sure,
it?
Sure do, buddy.
That's good.
1812.
Yep. That's good. It's kind of like asking who fought the Spanish-American War.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Fight well, fight fair, fight for your marriage, not to win the fight. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week for one last week of the series. Until then, have a great one.